In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network. Faolcha, everybody, to the Midwinter Festival of Conversation, taking part the winter beard of Tiernan, the spring face of Blewett, and the entrepreneur.
I thought you were going to go back mythical, sort of.
The mythical. How are you? So we're in different places. So Rita is in New York.
Yes.
How is it?
It's absolutely heavenly here. I love
it. Why is it heavenly?
I just love New York. I'm staying out in the East Village. It's really down at heel. It's graffiti everywhere. It's quite like Ballina.
Oh, yeah.
There's not too many.
Are they defacing the Biden pictures there as well?
Yes, yeah. There's none of them here. There's no high-rise buildings really around. It's really on the edge of Manhattan, and it's just... I haven't even gone in. Well, I did. That's a lie. I went into the city yesterday, into the middle of downtown Broadway to watch Danny DeVito in a play. It was unbelievable to see Danny DeVito live and in person. It was called I Want That or I Need That or something. Yeah. It was him and being a hoarder. And
you're such a tourist, Rita.
His daughter was. His daughter was with him in it.
And it was brilliant. And he just knocks on doors and says, "Do you have broadband?" And he heads upstairs for 45
minutes. Gives him 50 euro.
And you're there. Let's go to Times Square, and then we go to Macy's.
Yeah, get a show in. I never go to a show. I never do any touristy stuff when I go to New York. So yesterday I decided to do that. It's lovely here. I love it. I don't want to leave New York.
And did you have to make contact with the cousins when you're going over?
Yeah, depending on which cousins. So I had Christmas Day with the Bishop of Paterson, New Jersey. Christmas dinner with the Bishop.
You're the Maura Gagan Quinn of podcasters.
What was she ever famous for, Maura Gagan Quinn?
Did she open the Athlone bypass?
Was she a TD?
She did. She opened the Athlone bypass there at the bridge.
The shopping centre is named after her.
Yeah,
you are the Ballina bypass.
Yeah. Yeah, Christmas Day, they don't eat turkey on Christmas Day in America, so we had a fillet of beef instead. Of course, they have their Thanksgiving turkey. How did you get on for Christmas?
Well, let's welcome.
Oh, the traveller's back.
Yeah.
Hector, when did you get back?
Bueno, mi amigos, ¿cómo estáis? ¿Qué tal, Tommy?
What was it like arriving back into the luxury and wealth of Clare Galway after being in the, would you call it poverty?
I call it a bad, Cuba's in crisis. It's a bad situation. And even when I went out the countryside, after I talked to you on 3 points, please, I went out to the countryside for 10 days and there were more horses and carts and people hitching lifts on the back of, it was like the 1920s, cowboys.
It's like Ballina last week.
There were people coming in from all the parishes on Mondays. And carts to get their supplies.
Marte.
It was an amazing trip through the middle of the island, down through Santa Clara, the where Che Guevara is buried, and down into Trinidad on the southern coast, the home of the sugar plantations back in the day. But the countryside is like going back 100 years. it's the same problems that are in Havana, but an amazing place for a place that's in such hardship at the moment. And it was funny when we were leaving to go back from at the airport, you get to the airport, there's a few little shops one side of it, but then you get the far side of it. You're not allowed to use any more of that moneda nacional of the currency. Apologies now, because there are hailstones the size of golf balls hitting off the window here, Lorita. But that's the noise.
Is that what the noise is?
That is the Clare Galway East. Tommy, are you getting any of that out there?
No, Barn is too posh for hailstones. We only get snow.
But you're not allowed to use the...
They collect someone collects them.
Oh, my word. It is the end. It is the end. Let's just get a wild track of that.
That's what you call a good microphone, picking it up.
Jesus, that's bad. Yeah.
Hector, what did you eat out there, like in the countryside
fish,
in Cuba?
Fish.
Like, is there restaurants, like? Did you eat some... Did you have to go to people's houses for dinner?
No, there were small country-run restaurants where you go in and for about €4, you'd pay. You get a salad to start off with. You get a chicken soup, and then you get a lovely fresh fish if you're close to the coast, and then you might have a coffee. I started developing a grow for a cigar then as I travelled through the countryside. And I can understand everything that you get from fucking cigars, Tommy. Jesus Christ, do they love cigars. And the farmers are on the side of the road working, and there's a big cigar in their mouth, and then the drivers of cigars. And so I must say, Evan, who produces the show, I think he had 6 cigars one night. He actually turned a different colour after about 6 of them, but he was getting really well into it. So I brought a few cigars home for you, and I will dispense them to ye when we're next at the hen house. But no, listen.
You look as if you've lost weight.
Yeah, well, of course you have to lose weight over there.
And my wife said the same thing the minute I walked in the door. There's no McDonald's, there's no chips, and there's very little fast food. There's nothing. We were on rice, salad, and fish for about 3.5 weeks.
So how much weight did you lose?
I didn't lose anything. I'm still down. I'm
you did.
That's a real fucking Irish thing. The minute somebody comes back from out foreign, oh, Jesus, you've lost weight. You've put on weight. You've either put on weight or lost weight. The two biggest questions in Ireland.
Well, you definitely put it on over here.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I've gorged myself this Christmas on fucking crisps. And if I have any more bacon and mustard at about 1 a.m, my nose is hanging off with Coleman's mustard. It's one of the great treats of Christmas, having an injection of fire up your nose at 1 a.m, standing in the kitchen with a Coleman's mustard, smothered piece of bacon. But the interesting thing about Cuba is when I got to the airport, I had about 17,000 pesos left, Cuban Nacional pesos, which is about 70, 80, 90 quid. And once you go through you go through the bag check and you go into the other side past passport control, they will not allow anything except foreign money, hard money. You can't use a card to buy. There's no aftershave to be bought. There's just cigars on the far side and coffee. So you can't use anything except foreign money, hard currency, or they won't even allow a card. So I was left with about 17,000 pesos, which is a lot of money considering that a university lecturer or a doctor or a surgeon earns about 10,000 pesos for a month. So I'm there going, what in the name am I going to do? I can't just throw it in the bin. So I sat there for about 20 minutes before the flight, and I tried to find people who are working there. And then I saw
to give out tips.
3 cleaners. One girl who was walking around with the trolley, cleaning, taking up the few cans or whatever you were using. She walked around, and I spotted her. So I followed her route. I didn't want to embarrass her or anything. So I followed her route around the airport, around the departure gates. And then I went right
up. Followed her into the Jackson. That's your story.
I walked right up to her. And then I said, here, hola, ¿qué tal? Yo no puedo usar esta moneda aquí, pero toma, esto es para ti. And I just gave her 10,000 pesos, which was probably more. She'd probably make that in 6 months. And then I went over to another area where a girl was selling small little magnets and tiny key rings. She looked about 23 or 24. And then I looked again. I said, right, that's it. Just took all the money out and went over. Hola, no puedo usar este dinero. I can't use this money here. So listen, take this. And
what did they say when you gave it to them?
Their sense of gratitude, their sense of the smile, Tommy, and that I know after spending a month in Cuba, 10,000 pesos, which is €50, will feed a family where they'll be able to buy chicken, and they'll be able to buy some eggs, and they'll be able to buy some rice, and they'll be able to go out with their comfort zone and buy food with foreign money. And that's just the sorry, sad state of affairs.
You'd have a council estate named after you in Cuba now. That was good.
I was going to say hello to kids. There'll be loads of Hectors going around.
Plaza del Red Daddy. Red Daddy Plaza.
Casa Red Daddy. But so that was my good deed for the day. But then we flew from Cuba down to Panama. And then in Panama, we hopped on a flight, a KLM flight. And we were afraid to get on the KLM flight because Evan had delayed the KLM flight for hours the last time. So we got on the KLM flight back to Amsterdam. And in Amsterdam, we jumped on a flight to Dublin. And then from Dublin, I jumped on the long-term red car, blue car park bus, got to the car, hopped into the car, stopped at the Apple Green for a chicken stuff and sandwich and a packet of Donald's crisps. And I ate it. Tommy, by the time I turned off in Kinnegad, I was licking my fingers and I was going, I'm home. But an amazing trip, an amazing country, and amazing to see the people and the place. But what a crisis it's in at the moment. It's very sad.
And Camille, what was the, when you're over there, what was the sense of what was happening in Gaza?
Nothing. Not Ukraine. One bit of news from out. Not one bit of news from the rest of the world. For 3.5 weeks, we didn't hear a word about Gaza. We didn't hear a word about the Ukraine. We didn't hear a word about anything. The only pictures on state TV was a picture of the present prime minister shaking hands with the Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran as they signed a new oil deal. And I was trying to get my head around why Cuba is in such bad state of affairs and why the people are suffering and why there's a hunger and why there's a black market for everything. And it's like, for so long, they put their hand out and they took donations from the rest of the world. And now they're on the bottom of the rung for paying off their debt. They don't have any money. The military are in charge of the hotels. They're in charge of everything. They're in charge of tourism. And they just have no brains about how to run the country after 70 or 80 years of this communist rule. But all these governments in Central America and South America that were helping them are now not helping them. And they're just isolated and they're left there. And the country to the north of them, 50 miles into Miami, is just strangling them and strangling them and strangling them more. So it's just, and then the pandemic hit, and then 400% inflation, and then crisis after knock after knock. And it's just like a stunned island. It's just, it's paralyzed.
And there's no other country around the world have an interest in, a vested interest in communism surviving. Because that's how they used to get by, wasn't it? The other communist
countries.
Absolutely,
with China and Russia and, you know, and Venezuela.
And do they not protect them?
No, I think they've got their own little things going on now, and Cuba has fallen by the wayside. I've never seen such an amazing, unique people who have such a spirit. They are so friendly. They're always smiling. I mean, out in the countryside, when we left La Havana, we had a high-ace van, and I had a 1947 Plymouth Deluxe carrying the bags. It looked like it was on its last legs, and we had it loaded up with bags. And for the next 8 or 9 days, we drove around the countryside. And every time I look back, and there was the red 1947 Plymouth behind us, and stopping off in these little villages where it was like, if it was black and white, it could have been Ireland in the 1920s. But they're an amazing people. They've just got this zest for life, and this, we've been through this shit before.
That's the reason we're going to continue. Zest for life.
Get lost, you.
But like, there's nobody taking care of them at the moment. They're just run aground. And when we got to Santa Clara, to the home of Che Guevara, where he fought his last battle against Bautista, the American-led ruler of the president of the country at the time, Fidel and Raul. Like, I learned more about Che Guevara this trip than I've ever done. Like, and to think that Che Guevara, his great-grandfather, was born 5 fields away from me here, I really feel there's a deep connection with Clare Galway, with Che Guevara. Is the old ruins of the house are still here. Lynch, who headed off to Argentina, but to be there at the monument in Santa Clara and to see him there, it's an amazing place, the mausoleum.
Were you moved by that?
Yeah, because I learned, Tommy, I was reading up a lot more of him, and as a young doctor, as he travelled through South America, where he was really influenced by the Americans putting their noses in a lot of the countries and infiltrating into the political world, and people were suffering. There was a lot of illness in the 1950s in Central America and South America, and he just got pissed off with the American, strong hand of the Americans meddling in South American business. Then, at one night at a party in Mexico.
He was very good at The Usual Suspects.
He was excellent in that. But then one night at a party in Mexico, he met Raul and Fidel. Raul and Fidel Castro, and he hopped on a yacht and went to Cuba and fought the boys, became a huge military leader, rebel leader. He's a rebel. And
imagine Clare Galway have been always looking for something to be to cling to. And
isn't it amazing? He's a lynch. Che Guevara's blood is from Clare Galway. And there's something really strong about that.
Would you, if somebody was saying, I'm thinking of going to Cuba, would you warn them against it, or would you,
Tommy,
say go for it?
Tommy, I would tell every person on this planet, if they could go to one country to experience the explosion of culture and colour and richness and heritage and spark and life, and this, that they have a salsa, they have an inner salsa in them. It's just an amazing place. There's no other place like it. No other city like Havana, like La Havana in the world. It's unique. It's vibrant. It explodes from the moment we got out on the street. And we spent 22 days in Cuba. And It's the first time we've ever done two shows in one country in 23 years. And this is the only country in the world which deserves two shows, because it I'm glad we've done it, and I'm glad we've been there. I'm sad to see it the way it is, but I'm sure that the Cuban people are going to rise out of this as they've risen out of an awful lot of other shit storms and crisis over the years. But Tommy, it is just, it's hard to explain it until you go there. Now, you can fly in there and stay in all these posh hotels out near Varadero, but La Havana, the city of La Havana and the countryside is just, we were driving along one day, the road was so bad that it subsided and caved in because of potholes, and we had to turn back about 40 kilometers, which took about another 5 hours. But the countryside is like really gone back 100 years in time, and it hasn't changed a bit. It's a unique island, and it's an amazing island in the middle of the Caribbean.
Can the Americans go there? Can you go from America to Cuba?
Yes, some Americans come, but Trump said don't go there because it's a terrorist nation. We want to strangle them a bit more. So the embargo, it's all about this embargo and this blockade that's been there. But a lot of Americans are going, a lot of Canadians are going, a lot of Europeans, French and Italians love Cuba. There are people who just go back to Cuba all the time, but it's just...
They'd think Tommy was Che Guevara if he went out
Tommy,
there.
Tommy, you'd love it. You'd love it, Tommy.
Where are you going to go next? Where's the next country?
You see, we're going to be going through all the Caribbean, but, you know, it's a unique start that only 40 miles or 30, 35 kilometres south of Cuba, you have Jamaica. So that's our next port of call. And then we'll all go down through Puerto Rico, and then we'll hit Montserrat, and then we'll hit Trinidad and Tobago, and then we'll hit all down towards
You're the BB Baskin of Irish broadcasting.
In what way?
Well, she was all over the world as well, wasn't she?
Or was that stop. She went to India, Tommy, to run a yoga centre. She only went to India to run a B&B. She had a B&B near Goa. That's all BB did. Fucking BB Baskin.
So, Loretta, how's your Christmas been now? When did you go to New York?
I arrived on the 23rd, and it's just...
What did Santa bring you?
Santa brought me just a few little things.
Okay, you can take those cards and just move them a little bit away from your chest and let me
know. No, you don't need to see them. None of your business. What did Santa bring you?
No, I got... I went for my angiogram.
Oh.
Oh, go on.
Yes, so do you know, because the genetically the odds would be against the Tiernans living beyond the age of 19, given
you looked different.
Even if you never went near a knob of butter or...
The sight of it would give you cholesterol.
Yeah. So in the angiogram, where they travel the yolk into your arm, and you're lying there and they're talking to you, and the film crew goes up the artery and up the arm and across into the broader chest and over to the heart, and they say, look, you can see it in the camera there, and I saw it. I saw the proud fist of Cree on the Hirdnall.
Did you see Navin in there?
It was a map of Navin. That's what it was, mate. Map of Navin. With the boy in the backwater, split in the middle of it. And
what else did you see in there?
Well, he just says to me, well, he was able to do 3D in it. So he took me on a tour of my own heart.
Right, all the chambers.
In the upper right chamber, there was Newgrange.
Jeez. Was it the 21st? Did you go the 21st?
And then just down below that, then there was St. Oliver's Primary School in Blackcastle.
Good memories.
And then there was Blackwater Lane, just this side of the river where I did all me on my first fiddles.
Your first what?
My first fiddles.
Oh,
and yeah, but that, your heartbeat gets stronger there.
And then it was it room 7 we were in, Hector, in 1A1?
Yeah, room 7
in St. Pat's. And then there was the stage in Vicar Street.
Straight down the middle.
Just the chat show.
Then it was the chat show.
Six chambers.
Right in the centre of me heart. Right in the centre of me heart was your face, Loretta.
Perfect. Just where I had planned it.
So this was... He took me... he said that heart is fine. The heart is not a bother on it. And to celebrate my heart being... Or to celebrate...
No stints.
He says, you need to change your lifestyle. He said, you need to do a half hour of intense exercise every day.
Oh, Christ.
For the rest of your life. Every day for the rest of your life.
Half an hour?
It has to go very fast. So ultra, ultra fit. The far side of fit.
Is that not dangerous?
Well, I'll be down in the city gym with Hector now on the 3rd of January.
Yes.
Swapping poems with that lad. Just lifting weights and... giving each other bits of shame.
What are you going to do, Tommy? What's your exercise? Your routine exercise?
I haven't decided what my style of exercise is going to be yet.
But it has to be rigorous.
Rigorous exercise. And then he says, and you also have to change your diet.
Does he think he wants to eat
a Mediterranean diet. Just pure Mediterranean food. And to celebrate this good news, my wife got me 35 cigars for Christmas.
Oh, brilliant. You're dead right. It'll be a bonus if you manage to get through the next 10 years.
And then, years ago, we used to have great parties in our house.
In the Tiernan household or your house?
So in the Tiernan household. So my beloved, with my permission, of course, I mean, she doesn't act independently. Sure, what Irish wife does, do you know what I mean? Any time an Irish wife gets an idea, she used to run it by the factory of the man.
Of course, yes.
Of course. So she invited all the Tiernans down for Christmas.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so we had 15 for Christmas dinner. And then we had 32 Tiernans inside in the house on Stephen's Day. 32 Tiernans.
Jesus, that was a good load.
Inside in the house. And to prepare for this, we got in contact with, do either of you know?
Maura Bannatyne.
Mike Quigley from Corrib Catering.
Well, oh, he fed Jesus us. Jesus Christ, another name.
he fed us. Corrib Catering.
Great catering company.
All your.
your catering needs.
Turkeys, hams,
turkeys. Is that Quigley the caterer, is it? Is that Quigley the caterer?
Quigley, the Corrib caterers.
Oh, Corrib caterer.
Goulash and curry on Christmas Eve for 15. Any amount of it was delicious. The father couldn't believe how gorgeous the Throgonoff
was. Did the man stay with you for the Christmas?
No, he just... And then Christmas morning. The Christmas morning. Turkey and ham and all the trimmings for 15. And then Stephen's Day. Just a platter. Endless platters of amazing food.
No, a plethora, Tommy, and a platter. They're different things.
A platter.
Yeah.
A platter of food.
A platter of food.
And... my wife got a bar put into the hall for that's still in the house. And so we got a keg of Guinness with the tap. And a keg of cider.
So basically man came and he just left you with everything.
But the bar was from somebody else. And the bar was from Munro's. Gary Munro of Munro's Hostelry on Brenda Dominic Street. So we had the bar and the food in. So it's been the Christmas to end all Christmases in terms of sociability. But having the 32 Tiernans in the house was incredible because all my aunties and uncles and all their kids. And I got a photograph of Kevin Tiernan, who would have been my father, still is my father.
Oh, great. Yeah, good to know.
There would have been myself. There would have been my son, Dylan, and his daughter, Ava. So we have a photo with the four generations.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
And then for a finish, then I left the house at 5 o'clock this morning and I drove to Dublin Airport to pick up my brother, Brian.
Brilliant.
Who's flying in from New Zealand and brought him to Galway as well. So the 32, went up to 33 Tiernans.
Wow, that was a brilliant. So you're flat out socialising all Christmas.
It was fantastic. And any amount of porter and any amount of ham and salmon.
And goulash.
Any amount of biscuits and coleslaw.
And
any
cheese.
Amount.
But you weren't allowed to eat any of it.
And kids just running around everywhere. No one knows who owns them or what they're doing or, you know, but it was fantastic. Because that was my Christmas. I'm still in it.
So you're still in full on Christmas mode?
I'm still in the middle
and
of it.
And are you enjoying the social side of it?
Larisha, you know me. It suits me.
It suits you. Look.
Oh, it suits me down to the ground. There's nothing I like more than saying hello to people.
32 people in the one house under the one roof.
That's just 30. There's 32 Tiernans. That's, and then they had their partners.
So how many people were in the house?
There must have been the guts of 100 in drinking Guinness in the house.
Oh my good God. Jesus, you'll be worn out for the whole rest of the
fantastic.
Year.
Fantastic.
You'll be burnt out from all that.
So when I left the house, I got up at 4:30, had a treble espresso, went into the car and driving across the country in the pre-dawn darkness, I come up with the name for the episode.
Okay, go on.
Sneem Neeson.
Sneem Neeson. Okay, not too bad. Not too bad.
So
it's been
lovely. It's been a fantastically gorgeously social.
Did Kevin have a nice time?
Ah, yeah, he was in his element and his. But it was very interesting.
Was it not too noisy for him?
Not at all. But it was very interesting that, my father is 82, and his older brother was sitting shoulder to shoulder with him in the kitchen drinking porter.
That's brilliant.
Lovely. Isn't that like something now you'd
That's
see
nice.
In a cottage? In Mayo 70 years ago.
Yeah.
That the Owl lads and their younger brother, who is like 77, was sitting beside them. And the two sisters who were in their 70s were there as well. So they were like the elder lemons.
That's lovely for them to spend time with.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Each other. I got to have Christmas Day with my 93-year-old aunt, my dad's sister here in New York.
Is this the nun?
No, she's not a nun. She just never married. She's a single woman.
Is she one of them?
Yeah, she is. She's a single woman. And she gets up 3 mornings a week and volunteers in the local homeless shelter in New Jersey. And
can I ask you a question? Do you think she'll die wondering?
No, I think she was engaged like 2 or 3 times. She just didn't go through with the
wedding. Oh, she's one of them.
Yeah, she just couldn't make her mind up. She just couldn't make her mind up on who to get married to. So she had an interesting decorated life here in New York. And imagine, she's been gone so long and yet she's pure Irish, you know. So
And what kind of an accent does she have?
She has a Mayo accent.
I heard of a couple in their 80s who were getting divorced.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Isn't that kind of strange? You kind of think by the time you reach that age, you just are a fuck at your...
Maybe they're sickening each other.
And going through quite an acrimonious divorce.
Maybe they're sickening each other.
In New Zealand, going through a real kind of acrimonious, angry divorce. You kind of think by the time you got that age, you'd be suitably defeated to go on. Do you know what I mean?
You could have another good 10, 15 years left. You might want to...
I went on the I went on my turkey run. I was only back in the country a couple of hours, and I went and got the turkey in Monavay, and then I was down the local pub, and then the jet lag hit, but I soldiered on. And then I woke Christmas Eve morning to find out that the gas wasn't working. And that's not a good sign on a Christmas Eve morning in the lashing rain.
So what did you do?
We cook on gas. So then I texted about six people who never got back to me because it's Christmas Eve. And then
of course.
I decided to look at a YouTube video, and I went out to the regulators where the two bottles are, two huge bottles. And I think the regulator is damp. So I took an extension lead about 100 yards long, and I got a hairdryer. And I stood at the back of the garage in the pouring rain, only hours after returning from 29 degrees in Cuba, or sitting in premium economy having a gin and tonic with Roscoe. I'm standing at the back of my house, and the rain is lashing down the back of my neck on a jacket. And I have a hairdryer trying to dry a pair of regulators on top of a gas hot. And I said, this is it. And then about 4 hours later, finally, when they dried out, the bit of gas came back. And the ham could be boiled, so the salt come. But I can tell you one thing: when you cook on gas on Christmas Eve morning when there's no gas, this was like, fuck, what am I going to do? But I solved it. By about 5 o'clock, the gas was back.
How did you know what to do?
I YouTubed a video because Clive
wouldn't even. How did you even know where the problem was?
Because it had to be Tommy. We cook on gas. So I what we do is I know where the gas comes from, Tommy. Gas comes from a bottle, and it's in the place I know where that is. So I went to the back of the garage where the two big cooking gas bottles, they're huge, they're about 6 foot tall. They're like colossal giants.
And did you shake them to see if there's anything in them?
Oh, there two of them were full because I knew they were full. I knew we had gas, but there was something wrong. So then I texted. Nobody answers on Christmas Eve, and nobody should answer on Christmas Eve. But Clive wasn't even answering. There was nothing I could do. Clive knows a lot, but he doesn't know about gas. So then I said, the regulator, the heads going into the wall must be damp. And I started.
How did you even fucking come up with that? The regulators must be damp.
He googled it.
I YouTubed it. And literally hours after coming back down the motorway from Cuba, and there I was at the back of the garage with a hairdryer, the missus's good Morphy Richards hairdryer, I might let you know. And I was standing there for about 25 minutes on each side going, please work. Trina, if you're looking down on me, please say a prayer for me now, because the shit is going to hit the fan. It is Christmas and we can't fucking take the boil off the ham. Please.
That's my rain now. Listen.
Oh yeah, I can hear it.
Yeah, the hailstones have hit Barnet.
There hasn't been one bit of rain in America since I got here.
Oh, Jesus, lads, it's getting fierce wild outside.
You'll have to stay there for the rest of the day, Tom.
Is that storm gubbing it? Well, Hector, I'm going to tell you, if I went on and if one of the light bulbs wasn't working on Christmas Eve, we'd be moving into a hotel.
Oh, listen.
Oh, the man. Fucking gas in the house.
Look at the light bulb isn't working. Right, ring the Menlo Park. Quick.
If the light in the downstairs jacks wasn't working, we'd be down to 12.
All huddled in the corner going, what's going to happen, Dad? Will we ever get back to the house?
What was the catering man's name again? You'd have to ring him. That's the reason the light bulb.
Oh, listen, there's only one catering company in Galway, Tommy. Who is it?
Carl Catering is very good. Yeah, and Rose are great for the bar, and the 12 Hotel in Barnet, very reasonable rates for all.
Well, if I knew I could get Quigley out to cook Mike's Christmas dinner, because I'd tell you one thing, my wife's face.
But she, you love that, Hector. Were you not cooking the dinner? Were you not cooking the turkey?
No. Mark and my wife Dipna cooks the dinner. I take care of the fires. I just keep the fire going. I keep the lights going. I turn on all the lights. I have Christmas lights all over my garden. I was out with lights. There's more lights in this house like Funderland.
But you're like James Nesbitt in Lord of the Rings. I'm in charge of the fires.
I'm in charge of the fires. And then sure, that was it. Christmas Day was good. We played a little bit of what did I get? I got three pairs of socks and I got some deodorant. And typical daddy. I love saying, what do you want for Christmas? Nothing. Sure don't I have everything I need.
Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what your beloved said to you? I've everything I need.
No, that's what he said.
I don't need anything. But you got me a few things.
Did you buy the family anything from Cuba?
Yeah, magnets for the fridges. I bought a couple of magnets for the fridges.
How many fridges have you got?
Magnets. Good lad,
I bought magnets. I've got you all a little prezi. I've got you
did
all
you swing,
prezi.
Did you swing into Kinnegan for the magnets?
Ireland. A bottle opener.
I got you a few little bits.
Yeah. I got you a Westmead jersey.
Not much to buy, Tommy. Cuba is not doing Christmas this year. There is no Santa Claus. It is, you wouldn't even know it's Christmas over there with the state of affairs. So it's quite sad on one side of it. But I got a few magnets and a few little bits from Cuba, and I got a few cigars. Tommy, I've gone mad into the cigars.
Lovely.
Tommy, what about you for the Christmas presents?
What did I get? I told you I got 35 cigars.
No, sorry, actually, I'm not bringing that up again. Forget about it. Don't
answer. In all seriousness, I got 35 cigars and a nice cardigan.
Oh, lovely.
Lovely.
Yeah. Now, come to me. You're off to Nashville, Larita, is that right?
I'm off to Nashville now for some country today. Music. And the amount of people that I've talked to since I got to New York, everybody is just saying that Nashville is the most insane place in America in terms of music, socializing, partying. It's just apparently the bachelorette party capital of America. So it's just going to be insane from the minute you get up in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, there's country music playing in all the bars and all of that. So I am going to be in karaoke country music heaven.
And how did you persuade the beloved to bring you to Nashville?
Well, first of all, I am the boss. And second of all, I just want to go and listen to country music. And why would he not? Like, sure, I mean, if I'm happy, he's happy.
I was in Nashville years ago, and I went to, there's a museum of country music.
Yeah.
And what was really interesting about it was, you go in and they have like videos and photographs and guitars and mannequins made up to look like different people. So you start off and it's all these kind of putching, ridden, moonshine, dungaree wearing, Appalachian, toothless boys sitting on porches. Ding, 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 ding. You know, that kind of country music. That's how it started.
Indian country music.
And then it gets, it got really, really cool then in the 60s and in the 70s with fellas like Merle Haggard, who were sent to jail and real tough fuckers, you know. Country music was brilliant then. The genius of Kris Kristofferson and all that kind of thing. And then it got shit. And then country music got shit around the time Garth Brooks decided to take it up. It just turned into this
kind of... Don't you dare be so insulting.
No, you're right, Tommy. It lost it just its...
Oh my God, ye are such snobs.
But you'll see it in the museum, Larita. You'll see
I won't go to the museum. I'm just going to go to the bars and... That's interesting. There's a museum of country music in Nashville, and in Mayo, there's a museum of country life.
Oh,
two very similar.
That is really
things.
Interesting, Richard. Would you like to tell us more about that?
Yeah, no, it's fine. I'll take you there for a visit someday. But Johnny Cash is buried there as well, apparently, just outside Nashville.
Yeah, and Johnny Cash was amazing.
Yeah.
And so then country music, I think, you know, I know
you're thinking of Irish country music. No.
No, I was in the museum. I saw it in my own eyes. I saw Merle Haggard covered in blood and dungarees, and he was, you know, singing songs about shooting dogs.
What a great name,
isn't
it?
Shooting dogs is always about dogs.
Fucking great.
Do you know what I mean? It's like country music was outlaw music back then. It was the music of criminals.
Yeah, I get it. It's
and
different
bad behavior.
Now. Yeah, I get it.
It was like white man's rap.
Yeah, but
and
that.
And then just all of a sudden
Don't insult
glitzy.
Garth Brooks.
It's like it's been Disneyfied. Garth Brooks is the Mickey Mouse of country music.
There's more. There's worse than Garth Brooks.
Say hello to my friend Goofy. Hey Goofy, how's it going over there, Goofy?
Let's sing a song about it.
Hello, please. It's going to slip
on. Oh my God, you're so
funny. Where's Minnie gone?
Well, trust people from Navan wouldn't know anything about country music anyway. I mean,
you will see this in the museum.
I will not go to the museum. I will listen to Phil. And Kid Rock's got bars there. They've all got bars there.
Kid Rock.
Yeah, Kid Rock. He's good.
Kid Rock. Sounds like Hooters.
Well, I'll be in Hooters. I'll send you a few pictures from Hooters. I'll get some selfies with some.
You will, have you got the pair of cowboy boots? Have you the boots?
I have the cowboy boots.
And I'll get the
stunts. Yes, I've got the bootcut jeans.
And please tell me you have the Mayo jersey for a right
good
afternoon.
No, I don't have to bring
yes, and then bootcut jeans.
Please, I don't bring Mayo
jerseys. Just like you're heading to Croke Park.
No, thank you very much. And a straw hat, yeah. with the mayo rope around the side of it. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll get the Stenson. Is that how you pronounce it? Stetson?
The Stenson.
Stenson is a type of pencil.
Yeah, I'll get the Stetson and I will be living it up.
On. You'll be pure wagon from head to toe.
I will absolutely go full on wag at the
I'm a country wagon. Hit your horses on to me.
Ride me up the main street and ride me back down.
Hey, Loretta, welcome to Country Music Time. Woo!
Welcome to Garth Brooks. Welcome to Garth Brooks land. Press one for Garth Brooks. Press two.
You weren't brought up on country music, and I was.
We were brought up on great country music.
All that's
Ray Lynham.
Ray Lynham. I'm sure he's from Navan or somewhere.
Ray Lynham and the motherfuckers.
It's probably not even his real name, is it, Ray Lynham? A made up name. So I'm going
to McFlavin and the Wankers.
Lads, the
live.
Lads, the amount. Real. What did you say?
Flavin's Wankers. Come on, boys. Here we go.
Come on, boys. Let's rob this fucking place. What the fuck? I robbed the post office in Nina.
It's so good to see both your faces again.
Oh, did you miss us? We haven't seen you for ages, Hector.
Months, weeks and weeks and weeks. But we'll be back soon. Tommy, I'm delighted you had a big reunion over Christmas.
Oh, it was colossal. So listen, Sneem Neeson.
Tommy.
And we'll talk to you in a few days.
Yeah. And safe travels.
Will we be talking to the audience now before New Year's Eve? Our listeners?
Yes.
Well, this is for tomorrow.
This is for tomorrow.
So say, give them a Happy New Year wish there, Tommy. Off you go.
No, you, what? Miss Hector.
On behalf of everybody here.
And when I get them to send in their birthdays as well.
No, it's not. This isn't. Just say Tommy, wish everyone a happy New Year.
Yeah, Tommy, just do a Joe Duffy on it.
Do it, Tommy. You're the big crowd in the house. Say hello to the big crowd that are listening.
Fucking Roland Collins is alive.
I said, say hello to the big fucking crowd that's listening, Tommy.
Roland Collins.
Say hello to the big crowd, Loretta.
And this is from Maura. Maura's after sends us the letter. She is in the hospice in Castlereagh, County Roscommon. And Tommy, Maura is a big fan of KLS.
No, this is from John and Tubber Curry who's listening. John's a big fan of the show. Say hello to them, Loretta. Wish them Happy New Year.
The one I love is when they play requests for one-year-olds. And a happy birthday to Anya, who's celebrating her first birthday today. Thanks a million. What do you want to say, Hector? You say it.
We have a special request from Loretta on her way to Nashville.
Okay, yeah.
When we were kids, we used to phone up Radio Carousel.
Okay.
And this is what we'd say. This is how we'll finish. Okay. And I hope everybody has a wonderful new year. And the way you'd phone up Carousel from the landline in your father's house. And some young one would answer the phone, "Hello, Radio Carousel." And you'd say, "Could you play Fields of Fire by Big Country? Coming from Tommy. And I want to say hello to everyone that knows me."
There you go. So hello to everyone who knows us. And
so God bless, and we'll talk to you in a few days, everybody.
Here's to 2024.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.